This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
Like you were talking poem and Bach, and you're talking some other thing to arouse both yourself and anyone else.
This is the thing that's called rhetoric, which is not only that it could flow forth, but that it persuades.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the rhetoric.
Right.
It does two things.
And
it
rhetoric
persuades, like
is,
a river,
as you know,
by the way, it carries you along.
That's why I was teasing you,
teasing you
the other night. We've been having, no, we haven't. Don't think we have big secret conversations. We have the same conversations, only in a different aspect. We were reading Wordsworth. We were fighting a battle the other night of Wordsworth and Shelley, and Alan wants to say that Shelley, listen to this rhythm, and I thought, oh, Christ, forget the rhythm. You make rhythms. But it's true. Rhythm is really great if you take it on the level of the word retro.
Yeah.
Because retro is the same word as rhythm.
Retro,
right. That's quite true. But those, I've forgotten the literal names, like Mela Kertész. No, that's all that later.
Later.
I believe that we're terrifically advantaged because everything that was that rational discourse structure that came in absolutely at 476 and showed itself first in the marble, the marble. Has not only broken, but we really have tremendous opportunity to walk around now in the areas where like the Indo-European people first put their hands on real things.
Yeah, I think at the point of the World War that I'm trying to think, because he gets linked up with Dada, but actually his mind was entirely different. So Hugo Ball, in the very same period when the Dada thing was beginning, Hugo Ball was also had another picture, and he is the one, I think, that said the Venus de Milo caused the World War. But it was that image. He didn't, I mean, it was that much off, like not, but he could have taken that very first and said to go clear through the World War, and that's our business now.
She hadn't lost
her
arm in war.
No,
she really was lost before she started, before she went to it. Oh, of course, it's the serpent, but we don't mention him. I mean, there is always a quadratic behind the three, but, huh? Sure. Yeah, sure, but sure. But we can treat serpents properly these days.
Deal with these, and
absolutely.
And call it when
sure.
They're calling.
Sure. And that's,
now
we're talking
go,
straight.
Like, you want to
yeah, absolutely. And you should have, absolutely. But I don't believe that drawing is very important. You carry that floor where you can manage to carry them and try it on. That's it.
Actually,
how well you can do with number four.
These would be unstable if it weren't for the fact that there's a shadow up. I mean, there's another triangle.
Very
there.
Much.
They really would be. They would tend to fly apart, and two of them would mate, and the third one would interfere, and everything would go. I mean, you'd be in one of those triangles, like
right,
they say
right.
in cell.
But you're also in that wonderful fact that happens to be I. That happens to be I too, which we just. We left that. We asked, "Who am I?" Jungle says, "Am I my own muse?"
Yeah.
Am I my own muse? Are you your own? Are you your own demonstration? Yeah.
What are the three questions?
She asked a real question. Say the duende, the angel, and just for the present conversation, that's true too.
But I think you were asking, would you have more force if you instead of having this with this mirror, you had that without this?
Yeah, do you?
And you don't, it stabilizes, absolutely. I think it just doesn't, it comes to a stasis, and instead of moving at that point,
Well, I think so. Those who've been by class with me know that I think that that's a condition of something that is real, and we are the creators of that real. So that you are, he says you got to be, if he says stasis, right. But I don't, you better put that line back.
Yeah,
I
better.
Just, yes, I know. That's what I said before. That, taking that line away is part of what them magicians want to do. They keep wanting to get
very much.
That's why they're not poets. I mean, that's why they're not
artists. Well, I don't trust magicians for that reason.
No, I mean,
they're playing without that line.
They look very silly, and they keep thinking if we took the line out, it would be...
It's not like tennis, but it's like marking off your steps.
Yeah. Oh, yes, we're not back in...
how many yards did you make, sir? What lines do you draw?
Now, wait a minute. Are we involved in drawing lines?
No.
Keeping... Well...
But we are divided, in a sense, from union. We are divided from union.
Just in the form of something moving, that business. If we don't have to attach... This three thing works all the way through. When you can be moved by three things, knowing that there's more.
May I interrupt you to say, but by the way, statue here gets tremendously important. That's why I would talk mudra or whatever we want to talk about, because it is clear, by the way, that if you don't make a true, we used, like that word image is marvelous, because it also does mean eidolon. Something which is objectively represented or presented. And that was the great concept of an object, that it was something you either could carry, that you had in your house, or was in the public square. If you take that David by Michelangelo standing in Florence, it's an enormously great figure, but I don't believe it carries any of characteristic of objects.
First it was a stone, wasn't it? I mean, first it's a real game.
Yes, quite. Yes, sure.
That's the thing, and every bit of its shaping.
Very much so. I never saw it so ruled, by the way, as in Yucatan. One of the great advantages to me, to my mind, of Amerind civilization, who was full of, is to see how a statue of a city like either Uxmal or Chichen, which has enormously elaborate architecture. You remember the creepy pigeon house, say, at Uxmal. Actually, or the governor's palace, right? Which is what? It's like one of them damn French things.
The elaboration of
Well, that's a fake, architectural fake. But the governor's palace is enormous building that this university and everybody else isn't any better with. And right in front of it was a phallus of stone, just absolutely, literally stuck there in the ground. In fact, and all over the place is this enormous jump between this image of nature, which is that thing we've just been talking about, and this incredibly literal building of any city anywhere in the world. For offices, it's an enormous picture that you get when you can't see it. The damn palaces have been removed.
It's on my mind right now. If you take that first stone as given, and under it or in it, and to it could be said, this is she. If you get to the Greek image, the one that Charles is talking about, that's happened by that time. This looks like her.
Yes, quite, very much, very much.
As a matter of fact, between these two statements, and once this looks like her, then she is someplace, and she is an idea, and then she flows all over the place. She's beauty, she's anything they want to name.
Right.
But here, at the beginning, the thing you do know was that, and as a matter of fact, when they dig it up, they know, and that's what first things are. That this is she, and she proves to be a stone, including all the things she was up here, beauty and so forth. And even idea means to see it. And must go back to that seeing the stone.
Right.
Or she is to be any of those. And they are distinguished by what they were seen as. But between that stone and the cut stone, the shaped stone, that's the danger. You're always working in a poem in the same thing that man has worked in. And when you come to idea poets, and Shelley certainly one of them, and it's beginning in Wordsworth in parts, you are coming to a separation again between the stone, between the statement, this is she. And
I think so very much.
Like her.
Because Wordsworth's weakness is not, as again, you were quoting Yeats to me last night, is not at all that he had a system of thought, but that nature had become the substitute for this thing that we're now talking about.
Like
literally nature, you go out and you see, or he gets scared by a looming shadow out on the boat on the lake. I don't think that's a... That's not, he ain't being scared by a looming shadow out on the lake on the boat. He's being scared by some funk in himself. But we know these things. One of our chances is to be sure that we can place the funk where it belongs and not distribute it as though we were dealing with a formal character of the real. The real is only things. You've got to be awfully sure that you've got that fixed in your mind. Things. No, I mean, literally, it only means it, and that's all it does, it is. Otherwise, you're going to poeticize, tragedize, do a hell of a lot of ising to what really has a greater impact, and in fact, you are yourself a more critical problem, because you're really independent of that enormous system. Now, Yeats himself should be calling names like, I mean, let's talk about where he, I mean, big man? I hear that. You've said what you... She sure gave him a... She gave him a...
When you say the universe or the real is only things, or only instincts, the problem is there, you can have things without having them real also. I mean, in other words, if the eye doesn't see them.
But you know, we're not wandering about. We're saying she is a stone.
That's right. She is a stone. That's right.
And then you know very well that her and looks like. You got into that because you would not. We can see these two together, and the one thing we can see is she is a stone, and then everything else is looks like, and that's the proportion. But it's when you just are way over there, when they got into that looks like, she couldn't. That's when Plato said it was all a lie. What any of the thinkers then come along, they said, well, but ideas must exist up there. And they can't possibly ever have been stones. They can't possibly ever have been tipping on an arrowhead. They can't possibly... And it's the same business. I can't possibly be mixed up with how the food comes about. It must come about by some idea or floating on it.
You can't take anything away, Alan. You get nervous, I think, in saying that, because you can't take a damn thing away from the... You won't lose anything by just saying treating the universe as real.
No, that's true enough. But
it ain't going to go away, or it ain't going to suddenly crack in.
Right, but when done doctrinally, then the feeling of the thing is lost.
Oh,
I've seen that operating with Williams sometimes.
Yeah, I know. Well, sure.
Or from Williams.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it sure has the danger.
Many of the young poets who are now writing clean poetry.
Right.
No idea what the thing is. Completely without...
Well, I don't myself believe... I don't believe that Bill's attitude is holding up now, as interestingly, either. Because of how you said it, the formulation. What did you say for that stiffening that occurs when you made a mold?
Become doctrinal.
Doctrinal, right. I think Bill's, the doctrinal in Bill's, I've even, not a month ago, felt, I can't get the feeling back now, but I felt something, some way that statement is can be now stated.
There was a reason that statement came up, though, because that was because that final.
Of its time, in its function, it was quite perfect and will last. Understood for what it was.
Some idea of that function, because that word the town got first for images, and phanoporeia, and when he explains it, he meant casting an image on something, and at best he had two ideas of what this process was. He said there was one kind of imagination. It was a soap bubble. Now look, I mean, we said she is a stone, and actually you can dig the stone up, and it's her. They've got pictures now that go pretty far back to where it's a stone. But, alright, there's another thing he said was a soap bubble, and that had pictures cast on it, and that was one of those phanoporeias. And the other one was, a kind of image that when you saw something went into you, and became, I'm trying to remember what the term he used for this was. The main thing is it grew in you. Instead of just seeing it on a soap bubble surface, there was another kind of thing that entered in as an organic image. The minute you saw it, it had entered into you and started making inside you.
Well, I asked Roni, and Phyllis, when we were driving back from the radio station, just to bring this home, though, yeah. I mean, what do you do with the persons of your dreams?
Yeah.
The persons of your dreams, because that to my mind is a tremendous place that we are now free to possess in a way that, I mean, like, but also seeker as in principio, mulieris hominis confusio. The meaning of this sentence is woman is man's joy and all is bliss, which is that wonderful answer about dream that is in the nun's priest tale, about to fix it as real. I mean, he's really saying, you're a damn nuisance, but I'm going to tell you, you're beautiful. I would say you've got to treat the persons of your dreams who are always, aren't they whom you know? I mean that level of dreaming, which always is the persons you know. What do you do with those people? To bring this whole mythologicalness in. Because the out seems to me much more, for me it's very much more easily demonstrable than the evidences of the same. I think the same thing within. It seems to me we're absolutely exploded to required to reveal all that's in our chest.
And this
let
is
your heart hot burst. Ahab's a great statement. Burst his hot heart like a crater or something on the whole of it. I mean, that's a marvelous agony and anger in his instance and violence, but essentially it's what we are, isn't it? I mean, to get it out, not to play as though there's an in and out.
Yeah,
that's
right.
No longer interesting at all.
If I get this, that the dream is actual. That it's involved in an act. Oh, this movement is what waking daytime movement taking hold of a book, and you do not have to put that into a poem because it can happen right out there. The thing of the poem's relation to a dream is it does have that actuality of the inside things, or the dreams thing. How to live in the dreams has been a major problem. That's part of what you mean about.
I'm struck at how the whole idea of dreams as wish fulfillment, for example, is so essentially interesting. If you take it, the old definition of the gods was that their wish was will. That's so exciting to me that they were so called and have powers because their wish was will. There's no second step. The ordering is a single order of wish and will. That's beautiful, in my mind, and it releases the whole dream thing so that you get an absolute one-to-one with the dream condition of the universe. You can call it race, and you can call it dream, because that wish-will thing is just an instant of power.
I've had a whole series of dreams all this month which have been exact correspondence to my daytime awareness.
Well, who are the persons?
Well, a lot of people. Ellen, the other night. Christ, one night. Christ, one night. I told you about that. First day I got here, Christ came and said in a dream, and said, fuck me. Fuck everybody. In any form I come. And another dream recently in which I took some mescaline and began experiencing the whole mescaline, completely experiencing the mescaline being arabesque.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started turning horrible and stripped of life. So in the dream I said, now I am the master of my will. I'm awake. Not get scared, not get involved in nightmare, but wait.
Right.
And another was that thing about girls, and so we're floating on a great ocean with Helen. She was playing in the ocean, and I chose a great wave to go over me, swam in it, and came on top of the wave.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I were waving to each other.
Waving the wave.
But they now are, like, before the dreams were like prophecies of what my awareness would be, ultimately. Now they seem to be corresponding to what my awareness is day to day, while I'm aware.
Mm-hmm.
So the wish fulfillment aspect of the dream seems to be when one is not completely in one's body, the dream is prophesying that and prophesying what it feels like.
All day long when you're operating from that same.
The feel of the dream,
right.
The feeling of the sense of, what do you call it, feelings of dream, or sensation of vastitude of dream,
right.
And like depth, fairy tale depth of dream, now comes during waking hours.
Yes.
So the dream,
the waking hours start being the wish fulfillment.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So Bobby was saying the other day, his life is a fairy tale. It didn't feel like that.
Which Bobby? Bobby Cooley?
Yes. And you were saying we have come so far that all the old stories. And
so they do.
But what's the line?
But whisper once more. That was right then when they were at it. Fairy tale, though, is at least in all those tales that are told, is a little different from the floating part of this. I pointed out, if we're going to talk about fairy tales,
that's too
it's
easy.
A very definite series of things that it consists of instructions that are miscarried the right way. And that if you carry them out the way, you really have to be, mistaken, and yet you have to have a series of tasks in a fairy tale. I don't know any fairy tales. That don't have a series of tasks, mistakes.
Well, haven't we all been mistaken and had a
chance? No, but I mean,
but
it's very definite. Yeah. It's like a dance. Floating on a wave is not dancing.
Do you know a tale which is, there's a marvelous literature in existence today, coming out of Connecticut, the junior classics. I imagine some of you, at least, that have children have run into it. In the desperation of how to make a living recently, I thought I'll go there and ask if I can get employed. Because the first one that really knocked me right off was a thing called The Enchanted Pony. Do any of you know a junior classic? You know that whole junior classic series of comic strip books, which are, Treasure Island and Moby Dick and all, and Dickens and all that, but also, suddenly, is this whole series of marvelously interesting fairy tales that I don't think we ever had. They're not picking up on Grimm, they're picking up on world fairy tales. And this Enchanted Pony must be Russian, I think. And nobody in the room
It's
where the man's got tasks, but the horse is the one who...
No,
the horse, the pony... The mother of the pony and the pony are capable of solving all the the peasant, the third of the three sons of the farmer's problems. So but he not only gets the girl in the end, but the girl is the princess of the outermost. She comes from outside the whole known world. It's an utterly marvelous, a beautiful story, enormously pointed. The Enchanted Pony.
I think that's in Lang.
It is?
Yeah, they got together most of those world. That's the biggest effort to get a world collection instead of a single, instead of a national collection or something. Of Frank.
I'm sure
there are variations on the story. That's why I asked if the pony was killed. There are a whole group where the pony solves everything, but in one of them, the one I was thinking of first, one of the last things, after doing all that...
But like the horrible thing they do, they also have the King of the Golden River by Ruskin, which should be thrown out in the ash can. But there are some utterly wonderful ones.
You read Dr.
Doolittle? Huh? Yes. Yeah. Well, now, Dr. Doolittle is not a fairy tale in this... I mean, that is and neither is the... Dr. Doolittle is a new kind of literature. It's like Oz books, and I don't really know where anything like that exists before.
Yeah.
Does it...
Well, it's Dr. Doolittle.
It's pre-invention. Pre-invention is part of what goes on in it. And perhaps it starts in Alice, because it has certain attitudes that it's...
For example, Edda means grandmother. Do you know that?
No.
I don't know. I can't believe it. But
Edda's
on the best
grandmother?
Of Edda is grandmother.
What does Elder mean? Elder Edda.
That's the older of the two poems. But Edda, which is the Norse for that kind of a poem, it's like Vida, Edda, means grandmother. At least I ran into this crazy fact. It's just unbelievable. And this is where you're getting both poem or saga or story and fairy tale.
Yeah.
To my mind, where they really, you can talk fairy tale with some, not just the pleasure of them, but where they tie to what we're talking about, the whole fairy tale of myth. Say, if I would treat it differently, but if we use the word fairy tale and you say life is a fairy tale, is that what you say?
Bobby said.
Well, that's saying it too easily.
Yeah.
And you're getting out of it. You're getting away with it when you do.
How about any questions to come in? Well, I said let Lorcan do it, because for one thing, that's a special Spanish that's his. And I read just that part.
Well, were you here when he read that?
Yeah. I was wondering, was it going to be anything that you didn't want to get into the poem and start writing?
Well, some people get upset by doing this.
Hawkins, it's Hawkins here. What was that? What was the verb in that passage of yours? Wasn't it duenda?
Duermes. Dream.
Right.
Well, now I don't. Look, there have been people who have not wanted anything like a duende to happen in a poem, and the explanation for the way they write is that they want to keep it out. But I don't understand what you mean. Is it something you would want to? I mean, this. Actually, Lorca is pretty angry because there have been schools of poetry who've been trying to keep this thing out of happening, and that's part of why he divides it up and turns against. See, he's saying he wants to keep the angel from happening and he wants to keep the muse out. He's in a box.
Who is the ring?
Pull an air for the ring.
In Spanish.
No, I think it was the French poet. He saw that Apollinaire, what Lorca saw was that Apollinaire was false, was what was false in surrealism, and Lorca was close to it on the other side. And just as, for instance, Artaud would be a sort of anti-Apollinaire within the immediate French thing. But the thing about Artaud is that for all of his great effort to become mad, he still is talking like one of those Frenchmen in their literary fairs. I mean, he's still making Apollinaire propositions. So he's caught in it much more than a... He's still in that business. What? Well, let's go back. Lockett described, for instance, to get at that really cross, somebody dancing, and the person saying that has Duane Day. Now, how are you going to get it out or put it in? I mean, you could fail the dance. It's really surrendering yourself.
Yeah,
if you surrender
you're
yourself
capable.
To the thing that's going on.
Are you capable of it?
Yes, you can't be at the point. Now, when I talked about people keeping it out, I meant that the people often write and wear control. Control of them means not surrendering at all to the piece of writing they're doing.
Right.
And then you're not going to have any. You're not going to have any duende because you couldn't have anything. That is keeping things out of the writing. Is not to surrender to it. Not to surrender to what the movement is setting up. I think fear's involved, but surrender. Why use the term surrender if it weren't? Should something move to the commands of the thing that you're working on? See, back to that muse, that the commands I surrender completely to are the commands of the sounds and the meanings as they're moving, and they're one. But I have to follow it and go with it and ride it. There's no other way when it starts. Except that it's in an art. He's making it specific
right.
to an art. Bacchus isn't. Bacchus is when you go. Well, you know, Bacchantes aren't making things.
That's right.
Yeah, I said. If it's duende, it is dark. He said. Well, that may be that underside. I mean, but let's not talk about where duende is.
I think one of the craziest examples of this is the greatest angel. Known to man in the Greek system is Hecate.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I could
yeah,
prove,
yeah,
I could read you, I did for that Ballingen translation, a long supposed translation of about 50 lines of Hesiod. There's 50 lines in the Theogony on Hecate which ought to forever put an end to this use of her as the frightful goddess, the goddess of fear, which is one of the damnedest clichés we have, really, is the idea. She's a bore. She's been a bore for how long?
Yeah.
But in fact, she is the great angel of her father. She does the real stuff. Whenever... a real thing has to be done. She's sent to do it. It's an amazing fact that Hecate was really like, I don't know,
like
in our system, like Michael?
No, in the Christian system,
who's the archangel? The archangel.
Yeah, yeah.
She's the archangel, really. A woman archangel. And you know, she became, in some curious, dumb problem of fear and fright, this monster.
But she
is no monster. She isn't
any. That division. That's when they made that division, I'm sure.
Yes, it is.
It looked like her, then she
right.
could be a below as well. They got up, and that's where they got above and below, and this other picture that we have to deal with.
Right.
You know, another thing, it seems to be, but if you think of this as being. Shaded this way, it's sometimes drawn when they've got magic going. The funny thing is that the people who operate up here seem to be able to take these three points and have a reference that this one is here. But when they operate
this is why, what about that? Say
we call this one as it's called in Christian religion, our magic, the devil. The odd thing is that when they start serving him, they can't even use these corners because they start despising him. And instead of having what you have, you have this triangle and having it at the real key, which you recognize it's all one, you have a reverence that keeps this one. Here, you despise these corners, these, you can't make use of this at all, finally, and everything is turned against that, and you're just, as you go out the hole at the bottom. I mean, this turns into a funnel, as if there were a hole there.
Which seems to be the whole story of people who get caught on black magic as if there were only one triangle. That's what they're... Well, Hecate's not part of this picture.
No, she isn't at all. She's not a part of this picture.
She's long gone.
No, she's an angel, messenger. I don't know. I don't think so.
No, we'd have to have some. No, these derivations are can't be just.
I don't. Because it's actually in Greek, it's ekate. I don't think so. I don't think it's ekate. No, that's the junk.
No, that's
the junk. That's the junk. That's the triple goddess junk of Robert Graves and the whole thing.
That's a later Demeter Corey.
She is called, really, Kurotropa. She is the nurse of man and a nurse of life. Not the mother, the nurse, the rearer, the carer, the other thing entirely. And as such, I mean, she's the instructor of all nursing, and she comes to the aid of those who need to lend somebody care, but she's tied, of course, tremendously to the mother, because when the mother loses her daughter, it's Hecate that really knows where she is, not the take her, but she knows, because that's her business, that's her world business. And she's in and out all the time because that's her function and responsibility. As Zeus's principal daughter. She's a wow, that woman. And I wish I had that passage with me because I threw it away as verse, but wow, it's unbelievably interesting. A material. It's easy to find, actually. It's in the Theogony under Hecate. I could talk about it. I had a literal visit of my angel to me this spring. It was talk about a dream. He literally came. It was carrying a. He was behind the counter. I was having a cup of coffee with Dan Rice, and who's a friend of Curly's and mine, a painter. And another person I've forgotten. And this angel was the counter man, and suddenly held up this fish, and the fish, and it was, by the way, that beautiful story in the Bible of Tobias and the angel, is it not? Is
yeah,
it Tobias?
That's,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
It was absolutely, I could confirm to a T the Tobias story. And in fact, even to this, you remember the gull ship that blinded, how's that get in there? Isn't Tobias blinded by gull ship? Huh? The sparrow, right. Excuse me, I made my...
Yeshiva book.
Huh?
Yeshiva book.
Yeshiva book, right. Well, I've forgotten at the moment all the details of the dream, but believe you me, the angel comes straight to you, literally, and tells you everything, just like in the, under the mushroom or something. You're absolutely told on the moment where you are, what you're not quite taking care of, and where you must get busy.
Instruction.
Instruction, absolutely, and all you are as far as obedience, which is the thing we most disgruntled to get. But it is the thing that's asked all the time.
I take it that imperatives that appear, even when, are really coming from there. I mean, and they can appear in a poem, imperatives of...
I don't know if you can get any deeper than the Locker formulation on the instructional level of the poet to his work.
Yeah.
Actually, that's why I think you're asking, Werner, is to get between life and production. And the truth is that these are the three terms that actually operate in the mystery of things to carry all this thing, the muse, the angel, and the geist. Would geist be fair for Duende or not?
No, because geist, I think, is like one.
What will tell me? What does Duende literally mean? Can anybody?
No, it's not at all.
No, I meant ghost.
Ghost, not spirit.
Huh?
Duende.
That's ghost.
No.
As what?
Well, it's used literally in Spanish.
I'm wondering what it means. Hawkins, do you know?
Poltergeist fairies that come from under bridges. Or
yeah, that's the German. We got a mix up there. Take the Holy Ghost. I mean.
Yeah, that's what.
But what is Geist? What is Duende in Spanish? Technique?
Duende.
Technique? Craft? Really?
Well, then it's fire. Then it's Festo's fire. If we're going to go back to the demonic, it's the fire.
That's crazy.
But in Chiapas, Duende is used for the people that come out at night and steal your cows, or start the horses neigh and running around and around.
Well, then we are back into the Irish culture. Yeah. Yeah, sure.
So Duende first was a flash of lightning and a fire.
It's your ability in that sense. Is that a legitimate? Well, I'd make that again. Now there we are. That's all right.
I heard the word Duende used many, many months over and over and over again.
But you're right. I asked Butterfield, do you have any fairy tales and so forth? And the people who were very, very skittish about it, but funny.
It's an invasion of forces.
Yeah. But that's, I think,
outside in, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's just sort of like a spirit comes in that makes the horses run around in the pasture in the moonlight.
Right. Well, that's a lowering of the idea, but it's a perfectly
funny
good case.
Sex.
Yes,
funny
sure.
Comes out
sure.
In the moonlight, in the pasture, they wake up and they start tromping around and waking up the whole neighborhood. But it's also involved with something coming up out of the earth.
Right.
The spirit is coming up out of the earth, and that's
right.
What that makes this.
Right. It isn't. But Alan is saying he heard it daily in Chiapas.
No, I didn't know. No.
All the time. And also in South America. Yes. Hay los duendes en la potrero porque los caballos son rodeando.
One's ability. I mean, some sounds awfully much at all points here that you were talking a release of one's ability.
Yes, no. It's got to do with release.
Right.
Releasing
that. Yeah. I don't think we need to. We've gotten the essential meaning out of it.
If we could think of
If you think of it as the fire, the technique really is, well, how can you work with a fire? The first thing I thought of is the problem of how did you work with the fire, because fiery is the quality that Lorca was talking about in that.
Well, I don't find any problem in calling this the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost was absolutely a practical manual of how to speak,
for sure.
And that was his.
Yeah.
That was what he was to do.
He was tongue.
And does. We've got something here going on, certainly which ties to Robert's talking in his lecture about the hero, and things have fallen to the poet. The hero and the, you said two, priest. This is a layer right across the board of duende. Muse and angel.
And look at an article by Dirac in Scientific American where he's talking about the future physics, and you'll see he's about ready to dump science on the poet. He talks about Schrodinger's having reached an aesthetic formula because of aesthetic, and then put it away because he didn't have the facts that would make it even look likely, but Dirac really is. You sort of stare and say, are they going to dump that on us too? Before, I mean, it'll be on you. I mean, they're just ready to unload science on top of the second from now generation of it. Like the ministers gave up and left the holy. You know.
Well, they have already done that. If you know that breakthrough.
In fact, the churches are discussing why it isn't there. Present time.
Have you seen that recent business on subatomic particles, which were finally organized about 3 months ago by a physicist, I think, in Berkeley or Caltech, of the octet? The whole subatomic particle world is now fixed as forms of eight, and the use of the word used is octet. That's why it's dangerous to finish that quadratic.
Quadratic, yeah.
You will be only getting the what science has become, the formalized death of itself, and using the images of art only. It has no vocabulary left except the images of art.
Information they use for.
Amazing statement. In fact, this is the most extraordinary end of the run is the subatomic particle is now achieved in the sense that the order of it is eight, and it fits every need, and it seems to be the business. That's right, their needs. Well, pump us up. Come on. Huh?
Plasma?
You mean blood?
Well, I did, when Charles was picturing what happens in modern science when they show that base, I've got a much more primitive view. I mean, how primitive, this is also elements that would be here. When he said it was technique to me is immediately the techniques of metalworking but there certainly are earlier techniques, because the chipping of the stone is the beginning of technique.
But it's mixed up in my mind with light and fire, and how do you work with it? And even though stones are called thunderstones, or I don't know, they aren't the same stones.
No.
But the world of stones is intimately associated with fire. We don't have to think about how they came about to know how intimate this association is. I mean, we do know that, so we believe it. But I was reaching out there to why our impulse is when we see certain concentrations of technique that we think of them as fiery. The performance is fiery, or the thing happening is flame. But one, I think that if Charles pictures that, what is your relation to that design? You really have gotten into it. That's why I said it was a stasis. When you draw the whole thing this way, when you end it all, because your work is defined in the things you know, in your trust or faith. There's an element of faith that goes to knowing that there are attendant powers and that you respect, don't turn against. You more than respect, you absolutely must have faith that they're with you, and that's how things are happening. Yeah. Courage would be like this thing.
It would be better to use the word fright.
Well, fright is the thing that happens right now. Fear is but what?
Mary?
M-E-R-R-Y.
Oh, yeah. I don't think so at all. On the contrary. On the contrary, he locked it up.
Yeah, indeed.
He's a dope. He didn't even know. I mean, that's why I don't think it is quite that courage. He had, like, stupid courage, but he had no duende. Not at all. Bad instruction. No instructions. He appropriated the technical side of it. No, none at all.
The dark gods for Lawrence did mean dark. Well, oh, I see. Because Lorca also said that where it was dark, there was Duende Day. So he had that whole realm chart, underground fires. Idea. Let me feel.
But Don Lawrence is a muse poet, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's a muse poet. Huh? Oh, I think it's like dream.
Yes, he has
Torah. I would think so. Very striking. Take the woman away and watch Lawrence God in a funny way. That little dumb doc, not dumb, but that funny doc man of this, which the Italian. Yeah, it's only striking. Yeah, I don't think we're going to get it. Neat to do.
Well, not going to get it.
Huh?
Why are we hung up on
the questions
one day. I don't know. Did you people talk about it once?
No, I read a passage.
Let me ask one question.
I'll get it elsewhere.
Well,
Well, then Charles.
No, I meant it the other way. Fight in it. Fight in the spirit. I'm using it as character of creation rather than that.
Yeah.
Than the plural. A character of creation rather than that. Covering all spheres.
Well, I do have sort of a question that could be thrown open, and that is if any of you feel that saying we have these categories, there is something else, and why are we discussing these three all the time? Did we forget one of them, like they say? I mean, that question always had to be asked anyway, is it true we remember? Did we forget to name one? Of course, don't name them, but send the name on a slip of paper a week later. Now, is there something you think proper to a picture of a powers, right use in this, of the art? You see, when you name, certainly Dionysus is a power, but not specifically of the art.
That the what arose?
That it was through the rites that the poem arose.
Oh, that's not... You can't support that theory. I don't... That theory is insupportable. That Dionysus theory. I think. It sure is current, but I...
Well, it was Jane Harrison's great idea, but...
Yeah, it was.
But it's... But I think that...
She and Themis is very clear that you're back at the... And boy, that hymn from Crete that she uses is Nocturne or Dionysian, Dithyram, Phinicide, as far as I read it. And I think she got a hold of something.
The serpent? Yeah, I don't know. Denise gave us that terrific description of a serpent-like seizure and having something to do with it. But just there, I was not sure whether I'd ever account for anything I've experienced as being like that. I'm not sure.
Well, I think the serpent here was indicating something which existed only in the imagination or in non-being as opposed to things and concrete. Is that right? Magic. Is that what we meant?
Or an area which includes magic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the serpent is the devil was a serpent, wasn't he, in the Garden of Eden? That's
true. And the devil is what? The devil is that which does not exist?
No, that's a Christian argument.
In terms of the discussion we're talking about, isn't that?
What?
Not at all.
Not at all.
I didn't know what we were talking about.
Trying to have a world where he doesn't exist is exactly what black magic's always doing, messing around as if none of that's there except something.
Well, in the Spanish dance, the duende does become. You mean that little blue flame starts sitting on the meadow, or what?
No, whether or not you say that all of these things that you're talking about are outside of people.
But Charles also said they're inside. I mean, it is rather, it's a...
No, I thought it was men have understood that, like, the Wendy was inside the horses.
I mean, the experience
the
is inside they.
What are the things inside in your mind?
or inside some part of you, inside your body.
I got to lend in my hat.
Chuck? Sam? I don't know. I think what Drummond is speaking of is that maybe we didn't make certainly the out is a way of getting it so you can talk about it, because unless you want to tell off, I don't know.
Oh, wild west wind. Thou breath of autumn being.
May I answer both this afternoon? Because that's where that pit that goes. No, I'm perfectly happy to talk about it, but I would like. Why? Let's hear the west wind.
The west wind.
Come at me this afternoon, please, both of you. Oh, you aren't there, but you are. Okay. I don't think they're angels.
Yeah, even he
That's
did,
the only,
by the way. If you read the letters, he why in the world he used angels when he had to go to work then the letters and say, I don't mean angels. I don't know. But in his letters he makes it very clear that the things he's calling angels are not angels. So they just got to be called Rilke angels, dash.
Right.
And then you'll find out later if they're other men's angels, if other men have anything like that happen.
Right. We will end by a rendering of the Ode to the West Wind by Mr. Right. Okay.
O wild west wind, thou breath of autumn's being, thou from whose unseen presence the leaves dead are driven, like ghosts from an enchanter fleeing, yellow and black and pale and hectic red, pestilence-stricken multitudes. O thou who chariotest to their dark wintry bed the winged sea, where they lie cold and low, each like a corpse within its grave, until thine azure sister of the spring shall blow her clarion o'er the dreaming earth and fill, driving sweet buds like flocks to feed in air with living hues and odors, plains and hills. Wild spirit, which art moving everywhere, destroyer and preserver, hear, oh hear. Thou on whose stream, mid the steep sky's commotion, loose clouds like earth's decaying leaves are shed, shook from the tangled boughs of heaven and ocean, angels of rain and lightning, there are spread on the blue surface of thine airy surge, like a bright hair uplifted from the head of some fierce maenad, even from the dim verge of the horizon to the zenith's height, the lock of the approaching storm, thou dirge of the dying year, to which this closing night will be the dome of a vast sepulcher, vaulted with all thy congregated might of vapors, from whose solid atmosphere black rain and fire and hail will burst. Oh, hear! Thou who didst waken from his summer dreams the blue Mediterranean, where he lay, lulled by the quail of his crystalline streams, beside a pumice isle in Baiae's Bay, and saw in sleep old palaces and towers, quivering within the waves in denser day, all overgrown with azure, moss, and flowers so sweet, the scent faint picturing them. Thou, for whose path the Atlantic levels towers cleave themselves into chasms, while far below the sea blooms and the oozy woods which wear the sapless foliage of the ocean, know thy voice, and suddenly grow gray with fear, and tremble and despoil themselves. Oh, hear! If I were a dead leaf, thou mightest bear. If I were a swift cloud to fly with thee, a wave to pant beneath thy power and share the impulse of thy strength, only less free than thou, O uncontrollable. If even I were as in my boyhood and could be the comrade of thy wanderings over heaven, as then when to have stripped thy skyey speed scarce seemed a vision, I would never have striven as thus with thee in prayer in my sore need. Oh, lift me as a weight, a leaf, a cloud. I fall upon the thorns of life. I bleed. A heavy weight of hours has chained and bowed one, two, like thee, tameless and swift and proud. Make me thy lyre, even as the forest is. What if my leaves are falling like its own? The tumult of thy mighty harmonies will take from both a deep autumnal tone, sweet though in sadness. Be thou, spirit fierce, my spirit. Be thou me, impetuous one. Drive my dead thoughts over the universe like withered leaves to quicken a new birth, and by the incantation of this verse scatter, as from an unextinguished heart, ashes and sparks, my words among mankind. Be through my lips to unawakened earth the trumpet of a prophecy. Oh, wind, if winter comes, can spring be far behind?
I think Shelley had sort of a leafy, foggy, windy little...